And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Let me tell you something. If we keep having fun like this, I just might stay here all night long. What do you say? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep hosting this show tonight until one of two things happen. Either RBN kicks me off or my wife kicks me off. And I have a feeling that both of those are going to happen in about an hour's time at midnight. But nevertheless, we still got an hour together, and that's going to be fun. And we're having a very serious discussion here, all kidding aside, on the culture war, the Jewish and Zionist influence in perverting everything that we hold dear as Americans, and even Proposition 8 and Fox News. We've been covering it all tonight. And we had a good conversation the first hour with doctors Stephen Stagosky and Paul Gottfried, respectively. But anyway, back on topic. Ben in Houston, you're on the line.
First-time caller.
Hey, a lot of first-time callers tonight. I'm excited. I mean, this backs up what I was saying earlier in the show, that the show is growing, and we've been doing pretty well for ourselves. I really appreciate you taking the time to tune in and call in. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I had two quick comments. The first one being, you know, I'm a third-generation American Hispanic here, and mm-hmm. one thing I cannot stand is I'm sick and tired of these, you know, these sodomites aligning themselves with legitimate, you know, civil rights struggles. You know, they have absolutely no idea what my grandfather went through or, you know, any blacks went through in the past. And, you know, they're literally 1% of 1% of the population of the United States. And it just infuriates me. My second point being is, you know, as far as those militant homosexuals, they're actually in the minority. What you're seeing is they're revitalizing their efforts to forge relationships with blacks, particularly in politics and celebrity blacks, because I guarantee you they're going to try another crack at this. They're really going to try and overturn Proposition 8. And, you know, it's bad enough with affirmative action taking jobs away from legitimate applicants. You know, with these Democrats in session, you know, it's if they identify themselves as a legitimate minority, it's going to be hell on anyone who, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're exactly right. And I think that, well, first of all, let me say I was shocked that with this constant media bombardment and this propaganda that Proposition 8 did in fact pass. But I think that they're right. It's only a matter of time, and it's only a matter of time for all of us unless we really get serious about the proactive solutions here to reclaiming
Absolutely.
America's destiny, as I said in the past segment. I think that it's only a formality, only a matter of time before you know, this sodomite marriage crap is the law of the land in all 50, quote-unquote law of the land in all 50 states. And you're right, it is. I will say this. It is very, very damnable. That, well, I already have said it tonight, but I'll say it again, that these you know, radical homosexuals would insist on being the new minority. I mean, they want everything. It's not a civil rights struggle, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion.
Oh,
but hell, I'm wrong most of the time. At least I'm wrong. I'm right all the time, but I'm wrong with regards to public opinion. Public opinion is very fickle, and they seem to go with whatever's fashionable. The people base their public opinion because of whatever's in vogue on television, and they're doing everything they can in mainstream media to really trump up the plight of the poor, innocent homosexuals, just, you know, striving for a better life and cleaner air and the right to enjoy marriage just like any of other God's creatures.
Well, that stuff doesn't fly
in middle America. It'll never fly with me. I'm not cold-hearted, and I don't have any evil or hatred or ill will in my heart, but I'll be damned before I go down with, you know, without a fight and allow this kind of perversity to prevail. We'll see what we can do about it. We got to go to a break. Maybe we'll figure it out during the commercials. The political festival continues right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the normal of life.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving essential oils.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the Body and Environment Safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic-grade essential oils because they are safe, and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
And now, let's return to the political cesspool.
What a glorious struggle it is, you know, to be engaged in this fight for freedom and self-determination, to preserve Western culture. It's an honor to be able to live our lives on the front lines. And as I've said before, the price we pay in terms of these horrible character defamations pale in comparison to the prices of blood and bone that our ancestors had to pay to give us the freedoms that we now enjoy for the moment. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to enjoy these freedoms, as people who were with me last week in Memphis saw all too well. But we did have a caller earlier tonight from North Carolina who was with me here at the David Duke conference, a conference that I co-organized with Representative Duke. And it was great to see, you know, those people here. 200 people here under the most difficult of circumstances coming together to talk about the issues and exercise their freedom of speech. It was a triumph, and I want people to read about it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I've done two blog entries about it, one titled Euphoric Conference Held Against All Odds, the other entitled 2 Weeks of Unprecedented Press. Quite a story. We talked about it last week. I want you to read about it. By next week, it's really going to be old news, so I'm trying to get in one more plug for that. I really want you to read about what took place here in Memphis. It'll shock and horrify you, but in the end, it's a tale of loss and redemption, I guess you could say, because we did persevere and at least get a minor victory there as the meeting did go on, and the Marxists were not able to have their way with us. Go check it out. It's been a lot of fun tonight. I say again, Dr. Paul Gottfried, Dr. Stephen Snigowski talking about the book, The Transparent Cabal, During the second hour, we've talked about the phony conservatism of Fox News. We've talked about Proposition 8 in California, the culture war in general. And we've had some time for some great callers tonight. And now we've got a few minutes here of free time. We've got another guest coming up in a moment that's going to conclude our program tonight, Mark Provelli. You're not going to want to miss that. But we've got about 10 minutes here for open mic time. Open mic. If you want to call in, raise an issue, ask a question. It's a free forum here in the cesspool for a few minutes, so give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. We've heard from a lot of people from coast to coast tonight. I want to hear from you. 1-800-313-9443 to get on the line here at Republic Broadcasting. We're broadcasting here tonight live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and our affiliate station. 1-800-313-9443. Sean in Arkansas, you're on the line.
Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going, my friend?
It's doing great, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Good is the word of the night.
Okay. Yeah, I heard you talking with the old man last weekend. It was a pretty good interview. But
who was I talking to last week?
I believe it was either last week or the weekend before that. Robert, when he came on from Ready Made.
Oh, yeah, Bob Griswold, absolutely. Yes, yeah, sir. Oh, yeah, he's a hell of a guy. That was November 1st.
Okay, November 1st. My apologies there. But, well, congratulations, James, on the interview. I know a lot of us face the consequences of going public, and a lot of times you have to ask yourself whether or not it's worth it. But as you know, the victory of it isn't a great feeling, so congratulations there.
Well, it was a minor skirmish in a universal struggle, but it was a little gratifying to at least blacken their eyes and not to be bullied. We're bullied quite enough, but anyway, yeah. I appreciate your thoughts.
No problem. The reason I was calling, I just got my episode, December issue of American Renaissance, and it was about Horgiator from Austria and the success of the,
right.
I don't know exactly what it's called, but the Austrian Nationalist Party, basically. And you're probably a lot more plugged into the circles of our movement, especially than I am. And I just wanted to ask you, what do you think of the chances of putting together more like an American Nationalist Party, something that the American people can use to use the rules that our framers intended to start fighting small victories for us? And it's something that would come under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of fire, but it would be a start, something that as we gain strength, maybe some politicians would invest in, especially things such as secure borders, America for Americans, and something like that. And something it's made me wonder why we don't have a movement like that. Maybe we could begin pulling more and more votes to make more viable politicians address issues that we want them to address, kind of like what Ron Paul and Ralph Nader have said. They're never going to win, but we might force them to address issues that the American people want to hear about.
I wish I had something really intelligent to say to reply to that, because that is really the million-dollar question. How do all of the people, and I still believe a great number of Americans, if not the majority of white Christian Americans, still fundamentally agree with my ideas and your ideas and the ideas of this program. The question is, how do we get them organized? And is it through a political party? Is it through issue advocacy organizations? Is it through building up our own media? How do we get these people engaged and coordinated? Honestly, Sean, I don't know the answer. Ron Paul had an absolutely outstanding campaign. I saw more Ron Paul signs here in Memphis and in the other parts of the country that I traveled during the early primaries than any two candidates combined. He raised more money than all of the candidates, and doing it with $25 and $50 donations. It was a real grassroots phenomenon.
I cannot bring myself to believe
that he showed that poorly. And so, are the votes being counted correctly? Who's to say? But this gets back to your point. Is it more effective to try to influence the Republican Party from within? Well, the Republican Party is absolutely rotten and corrupt to the core. Right. I think if it was going to be done, Pat Buchanan or Ron Paul would have done it already. And they haven't been able to do that. With a third party, we've gone that route too. Third parties haven't had a lot of success here in America, but in Europe, as you've seen in Austria with Jörg Haider, and of course they killed him. He was so successful, they killed him. But, they have, Europe has been big enough to entertain alternate parties, and there have been some very big strides made from nationalistic parties over there. Will that work over here? Well, it could. I just, I don't see anything to give me hope that it will right now. But things are going to have to change. And when things change, maybe different ideas and solutions will present themselves that aren't available to us right now. But as I said, if I believed in my heart beyond any shadow of a doubt that trying to change the Republican Party from within was the way to go, that's what I would do. If it was building a third party, that's what I would do. And I've tried both, and I haven't had much success with both. The most success I have had so far is hosting this radio program and getting people educated. But maybe through education and knowledge, we'll begin to figure out the right way to go. But, honest with you, Sean, I just don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, I try like hell here on campus. I've not had a lot of luck. I've had a few people. It's really hard because people are afraid to talk up about any issue remotely right near where our stances are. But it's just, in closing, just the thought that just to see maybe united. You see smaller independent groups everywhere, and you just got to wonder if that's right, if people should be pooling their resources, their influence under maybe a centralized figure. I don't know if I'm sure that's been discussed before in circles, and I just didn't know, I guess, your thoughts on it. But
here's the problem with our people. You can't get any. You ask four people what direction we ought to take.
Right.
You just cut your back and you get four different answers. And that's, it's a blessing and a curse. Our people, Western people, are blessed with a sort of rugged individuality. And that's a good thing when it comes to not being able to be controlled. And we have this fierce determination to be free and to be independent. But unfortunately, it also works against us. We're trying to work together with one another. And I don't see anybody as fractionalized as white conservatives right now when it comes to forming a consensus as to which direction we ought to take, which route to go. So,
right.
I think most of these things have been tried. I mean, there's got to be an answer out there. But I think the best thing we could do, I don't know if we have enough time to do it, is to mimic the tactics of the left. As I said earlier in the program with the professors in the first hour, the odds that are facing us right now are pretty dire. I mean, we're in a pretty bad shape right now. But we're in no worse shape than the Jews were when they came over here and decided that we're going to, back in the 30s and 40s, and said we're going to turn America on its head, we're going to have interracial marriage, we're going to have gay marriage, we're going to have radical feminism. Everything that's manifested itself since 1950, what were the odds of them coming over here and to be able to take America and turn it into the hellhole that it is today? Well, probably much worse than our odds are now of taking it back. And so that, I believe, is about the only thing that I can rely on to give me a little bit of comfort and solace, is that what one man can do, another can do. I know it sounds a little simplistic, but we ought to mimic the tactics of the left. And to be frank with you, some of those tactics have to be deceitful. I mean, what did they do? How did they get in control of everything? They masked their true beliefs and true intentions until they reached a critical mass, and then it was off with their heads. And so we need to go back and study the tactics of the Frankfurt School and get our agents into positions of influence, because we have this sense of honor and this sense of dignity and valor, which are, again, are good things, but as the Greeks said, all things in moderation, even virtues such as valor and honor, when taken to the extreme, can be detrimental. And I think we're too honest sometimes with what we want to do and how we want to do it, and we're not going to be able to get into the door. We're not going to be allowed tenureship. We're not going to be, at colleges and universities. We're not going to get the jobs and positions of governmental advisors, with our paleoconservative beliefs. We've got to get our people in positions of power, and I think the best way to do it is to follow the tactics that have already been tried and true, and that's the tactics of the left. And I hope that makes some sense. It looks like we're coming up to a break in 20 seconds. My God, that was the fastest segment we've ever had. But thank you so much, John, for the call. We're going to try to get to a couple of more calls here in the next segment before we get to our next guest. And by the way, Sean mentioned Bob Griswold with Ready Made Resources. Go back and listen to that interview on November 1st. That was a great show. And check out his website, too, readymaderesources.com. We're going to take a break. Political Cesspool, James Edwards. We'll be back with you right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Phone has been absolutely ringing off the hook tonight at RBN headquarters, and we appreciate everyone who has called in. We'll try to take another call or two before we run out of time. If we can't take your call tonight, call in again next week. We'd love to hear from you. But before we go back to the phones, there's just something I have to tell you. Again, further testimony to the psychopathic nature of the Republican Party. Did you hear that Michael Steele is at the top of the line to head the Republican National Committee? The scuttlebutt is that black Republican Michael Steele is in the running to head up the RNC and may even get Newt Gingrich's endorsement. And if he does get the job of leading the GOP, it'll be for one reason and one reason only, because he's black. If Steele gets this job, it'll be even more proof that the GOP doesn't want to win, as John McCain made clear these past several months. Politics in the United States is rapidly becoming a battle of blacks, Hispanics, Asians, homosexuals, and Jews voting against white people. And nothing could be more clear. And anyone who disagrees with me simply hasn't been paying attention. And a lot of white folks haven't been, which is why so many of them team up with the non-whites at election time. But the non-whites don't return the favor. They vote as racial blocks. And more white people are going to start to have to do the same. But the GOP doesn't have a clue. Or they intend to just keep flipping off white voters, election results be damned. The fact that a black or any non-white is even being considered for the top GOP job shows that they're just trying to out-quota Obama and the Democrats, and they couldn't care less about keeping their base happy. About 90% of all Republican votes came from white people. About 1% of the GOP votes came from blacks. So why would a black man be heading up the party except for affirmative action? In politics, you're supposed to reward your supporters and punish your opponents. But because the GOP supporters are white, the rules have to be turned on their head. Anyway, off my soapbox I come. Chris in Oklahoma City, you're on the line.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and just basically thank you for standing up for our people. I know in this day and age is definitely not the politically correct or most popular thing to do.
Yeah, we don't do it for the money, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Or the fame, probably.
There's fame, all right, but it's not the kind anybody. It's not the kind I'd wish on my enemies.
Right. Basically, just open mic. Like I said, I was just kind of sitting here hanging out, listening to you guys on the computer, and just kind of. I mean, I'm kind of the belief that being uninformed is kind of being ignorant, and I've been kind of always trying to gain knowledge, and I kind of respect your opinion. I listened to you. I've been listening to you for about 6 months now, and was wondering. I'm kind of looking into this whole Jewish thing. I was wondering if what your thoughts are on some good reads or some recommended reading material on some Jewish supremacism or basically a lot of Holocaust denial, aka Holo hoax type thing, and really just calling just to thank you for what you do and appreciate people like you who stand up. There's not a lot of you out there who stand up for our people, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, thank you so much for the question and for the compliment as well. It really means more to me than you know, and to all of us here. And to be sure, it's not just me that keeps this show going. It's the great staff at RBN. It's my co-hosts, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, and Bill Rowland, and the entire staff and production team that we have here. And, of course, all the listeners and guests, such as yourself. I'd like to ask you to email me. I want to sit and think of some thoughtful titles and some thoughtful reads to give you, and I don't want to try to summon that up on a whim. So this goes for you, Chris, and everyone else out there. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, go to the contact page, and email me, and I'll take the time to give you a real thoughtful reply. I want to sit back and think. I mean, anything written by Dr. Kevin McDonald would be a good read with regards to the Jewish question and Jewish mentality and then the role that they've played in the subversion of the dominant Western culture here in America. Kevin McDonald is great, but there's some really good titles from some really good, Paul Gottfried, who happens to be Jewish, has even written some very good things about this question. But I will get you some good titles. So email me and I'd be happy to provide that for you. And that goes for anyone else, anyone that we haven't had the time to talk to on the phone tonight. If I couldn't get to your question or comment, email me. The email is always open, and we do take the time to reply to that. And more importantly than that, go to our forum, our discussion forum. You know, we need to form relationships with one another. We need to be a community. And you can go to our discussion forum at thepoliticalcesspool.org and converse with other listeners of this program, just like yourself, who are looking for answers and want to be a part of the solution. And we encourage you to do that. Let's get together. Let's work together. Let's band together and see if we can't make a difference out there with the short time that we have on this earth. And I tell you, the short time we have in our lives may pale in comparison the short time we have left to enjoy freedom in this country unless we act now. And we try to do our part by hosting this program. Everybody can do their part. If you do your part, I do my part. Maybe, just maybe, tomorrow can be brighter than yesterday was. We got another guest coming up here in just a moment, Mark Crivelli, and he will round out the program right after this. You're listening to The Political Cesspool with James Edwards, and I'll be back with you to turn off the lights when the political cesspool continues in just a moment.
There's plenty more of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on to the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com. And find out what two dangers you really do face today, and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus seven other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient one-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Thanks again, everybody out there, for the endless stream of phone calls tonight. Again, if I didn't get a chance to talk with you, be sure to try to call back in next week. We'd love to have you on. What a great listening audience, and what a great participation we get from all of you loyal fans out there. Really means the world to us here at the studio. That being said, it's our pleasure now to welcome our third and final guest of the evening, Mark Crivelli. He is a writer for LouRockwell.com and the Ludwig von Mises Institute, as well as the Journal of Libertarian Studies. Mr. Crivelli has done graduate work at San Diego State University and the University of Colorado at Boulder. Mark, great to have you on the show tonight. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. It's nice to be with you.
Good to have you, my friend. And that being said, we're going to jump right on into it. I want to ask you a few questions here as we change topics for the last time tonight. I believe these are all things you've written about, so let's just get going here. Why and how is there a bias against contemplative students in universities? How would getting government completely out of universities and colleges solve this problem?
Well, I've written a little bit about this. I think that government schools sort of fail miserably at separating students according to their ability, and everybody's sort of lumped in together. And I sort of ran into this problem as a sort of a shy student myself, and classes are horrendously homogenized, and students who happen to be shy are inherently biased against you. If you don't feel like blurting out things that just happen to fleet across your mind, you don't receive any participation points, and you suffer as a consequence. So I think that's the primary problem I see with government schooling in terms of contemplative and shy students, anyway.
Well, do you think that, it's long been, the Department of Education is such an abomination. I don't want to get too far off topic here, but it's long been the dream, and I guess now it'd be more of a pipe dream of most constitutionalists or libertarians or whatever you want to call us, to get the Department of Education abolished. Do you think there's any way, to get the government out of universities and colleges and public education?
Well, I used to think that would be a pipe dream myself, but I think that, at least in terms of higher education, and I'm not actually familiar with whether or not the Department of Education is involved in higher education, but I think that in the higher education levels, the fallout from this recession is going to be horrendous for higher education. State tax revenues are going to plummet, I think, and I think that people are not going to have the money to go spend $30,000 a year for an education that really doesn't really help them very much. So,
you bring up a good point there. I mean, everybody puts a premium on a college education, and it's nice to be sure. It certainly doesn't hurt, but it doesn't always help either. I know I can think on off the top of my head of a half a dozen friends and acquaintances that have very good degrees from very prestigious universities, and they haven't been able to find jobs that any high schooler wouldn't be eligible for.
Absolutely, absolutely. I myself am in that boat, actually. I work as a roofer, and I have, 4 years of graduate work under my belt, and really not helped me a great deal.
And of course, there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of reasons why overqualified Americans can't get these jobs. But we won't get into that right now. We're talking with you about a hodgepodge of things, so we're going to kind of jump around. There won't be any kind of consistency in my line of questioning. I hope you don't mind. But you've written about some very provocative things, and you've got some very interesting ideas on different topics. So let me ask you this. Because I believe you are under the impression, and I might agree with you, I want to see what you have to say, about drunk driving. Do drunk driving laws actually cause more drunk driving accidents?
Well, I think that in certain respects they do. They force drunk drivers to drive in a way that's just unsafe, more unsafe than they would be if there were no drunk driving laws. And the classic example of this that I've written about anyway is drunk drivers who have to drive the speed limit. If you don't drive the speed limit, you will be arrested. So if you're driving home from the bar and you're you want to make it home safely, you just can't drive home at 15 miles an hour, or you'll wake up in jail, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
I'd go with you on that, but it'd probably still be a good idea to get somebody to drive you. I mean, would we agree that much?
Well, yes, I think it probably would be. I'm not pro drunk driving in the sense that I think everybody should do it, but I think that having these draconian laws against drunk driving really are counterproductive. They claim to reduce drunk driving, but I don't think that they actually have that effect.
All right, what about, because this is interesting too, because I get a lot of speeding tickets. I don't know if you're saying we should abolish, advocating perhaps the abolishment of the abolition of speed limits, but do you think that there should be no speed limits with regards to how slow you can go?
Well, a lot of these problems stem from socialization of roads, I think. I think that if people want to drive extremely slow, they're taxpayers. They paid for these roads just as much as I did. And If they're not hurting anybody, I think that's just fine. I am, by the way, against abolishing speed limits as well. So I think it's a tough call. I think on the free market, roads would be provided. Essentially, you would have different kinds of roads, I think. You would have roads where drunks could drive and other ones where it would be prohibited, and it would be a voluntary arrangement. But as it now stands, we all pay for them, so I think as long as you're not hurting anybody, you should be able to drive how you wish.
Well, I want to prove to the people listening, and we do to the best of our ability every program, that we pride ourselves in talking about everything. We cover every issue of the political spectrum, and I think this is a testament to that fact. But you mentioned the word socialization, so I got a question for you here, because certainly is going to come up in the forthcoming Obama administration. We know which way he wants to go. In your opinion, would socialized health care in America be cheaper than health care on the free market?
I think it would be astronomically more expensive.
Exactly. I agree with you.
So I think these people who are dreaming of about socialized health care solving these, I mean, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that we have a free market system right now, but I think increasing socialization will not reduce costs. It drags in a giant bureaucracy into the provision of health care services, and you have people telling you what you can and cannot get. So,
you're right. I saw so many people seem to be almost acting as if they were mercenaries to vote. I mean, they were selling their vote to Obama because he was promising them increased Social Security and this, that, and the other. And one of which the things he has always been promising is socialized health care. And you need to look no further than Europe to see what a disaster socialized health care has been. But yet everybody here in America seems to think that we can make it work. And I know as a libertarian, this is something that you've studied quite a bit. And I guess you're just echoing what's obvious to me is that it's not going to work. It would be, in fact, more expensive, and the services would be far inferior to what they are now, and even now they're not good.
Right, right. And I think a lot of it here in the United States, it's been sort of a clever trick, I think. They don't typically refer to it as socialized health care. So,
well, they don't refer to it as that. Well, I mean, you know, that's the old bait and switch. I mean, they never tell you exactly what it is, but...
Right. Although in Europe, you find people who are, I mean, the majority of people are sort of pro-socialization, more so than the United States. Here, you can't find anybody who would call themselves a socialist, and everybody is, so sort of.
Yeah, I've never heard it put quite that way, but you're exactly right. Well, at least they want to be. You know, I've asked you four questions. This will actually be the fourth, and this is unusual for an interview on this program because normally there's some consistency, but you've written about so much. I want to just kind of pick your brain on a variety of issues. We've talked about education, drunk driving, and socialized health care. I got another one for you. In a Mises.org article, you recently reviewed a book entitled Render Unto Caesar that was authored by a man that you respect, I believe, named Archbishop Caput, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And you had begun a conversation with him about the seventh commandment in Matthew 22, verse 21. Please tell us about that.
Well, I was raised a Catholic, and I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, but I still have a great deal of respect for the Catholic Church, especially its historical role in Europe. But back when I was a practicing Catholic, I wrote to the Europe Archbishop, whose masses I used to attend here in Denver, and I asked him. I mean, this is when I was first becoming a libertarian, and I was struggling with the problem of taxation, the moral problem of taxation, and especially a lot of the work by Murray Rothbard on taxation.
Right.
So I wrote to him to ask him how Catholics can support taxation, how they can even pay their taxes, because it seemed to me that taxes are just, and still seems to me actually, that taxes are just stealing. So the Archbishop he's a good man, and I don't know if I was expecting more from him in terms of an argument, but it just never even really occurred to him that taxation could be anything less than something for the common good. And he sort of dismissed my question altogether. So he recently wrote this book. I think it's, I'm not sure if it's still on the New York Times bestseller list, but it was for a long period of time, and it's getting wide acclaim in Catholic circles especially. And I guess disagree with the whole idea of Catholics rendering anything to Caesar. I think Catholics and Christians in general owe nothing to the state. And until somebody provides an argument, I am sort of unwilling to accept the idea that we owe them anything.
So speaking of the state, being a Catholic, what does St. Augustine call the state?
He bluntly called it a gang of thieves on a grand scale.
even as a Baptist that I am, I can certainly agree with that. So that being established, and I don't guess that comes as a shock to anyone listening to this program. I mean, to call the state that would be quite generous. But what is to be done, in your opinion? What is to be done about this robbing, thieving state that we live in right now, Mark?
Well, I guess that was sort of the motivating factor for me writing the article about the Archbishop, reviewing the Archbishop's book, because I think that the churches should be playing a pivotal role in defending their flocks against the depredations of the state. I think they used to play this role, and at least some churches have. And I think, I'm not sure, I'm a little bit disillusioned about the academic world helping us in any respect. I think they're sort of in bed with the state and always will be, at least as long as the funding for higher education comes from, and lower levels of education comes from the state. I think that's sort of a hopeless route. I know that sort of puts me out of favor with quite a few libertarians who think that that higher education is the key. Just getting more libertarians in higher education, we can sort of triumph that way, but I think that's sort of hopeless until we can, I'm not sure exactly. I think this recession will go a long way to undermining the state in a number of different ways. A lot of people will see the state as the savior for a lot of people. People will be looking for handouts left and right, and already are. But there are plenty of people, I think, out there like me who are tired of being preyed upon and see this recession as caused by the government. And I think people in times of economic unrest sometimes stand up for themselves and say enough's enough.
Well, it'd be nice, you know. I guess it'd be a little cliche, but I don't mind employing cliches when they're appropriate. You know, the future is what we make it, and I choose to fight. I know you choose to fight, Mark, and our listeners choose to fight, and the other guests we've had on tonight. I mean, we're all fighters. We, you know, you fight with the pen, I fight with the microphone, but, you know, perhaps one day we can, you know, bring all of our weapons together and maybe make a dent in this thing, because, you know, I tell you, something's got to be done, because we are going down the wrong road, say the least. But Mark, you're a prolific writer. I appreciate what you've contributed. I'll let our listeners know, and we only have about a minute and a half left. Let the listeners know where they can read more of your work.
Well, I primarily write for LouRockwell.com, and I sometimes write for the Mises Institute. But I think that LouRockwell.com is an invaluable resource. Not just my work, of course, but everything on there. It's as provocative as your show, and it's just wonderful. I don't know what I'd do without it. So if anybody wants to
LouRockwell.com, I think a website that most of our listeners are going to be very familiar with. Certainly quite venerable, been around a long time.
Yes, indeed.
And how often do you write there?
I don't know. It's just sort of varies. When I get some time off from work, I try to write.
Whenever, yeah, I know, you know, it's all a volunteer militia, you know. We come and go as we please, but, you know, throughout it all, we try to do our little bit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, take a look. Go check out the archive for Mark Crivelli at lourockwell.com. There you'll find not only his writings, but the writings of a lot of great conservative and libertarian figures. Mark, thanks for being on. We're coming up on a break. I'd like to invite you back anytime you're willing, and until then, keep up the good work.
Great. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, my friend. Have a great night. We're going to be back to conclude tonight's broadcast right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Hi there. The political cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I got one more thing for you tonight before we run out the clock, run out of time. I hate pop culture, and I hate celebrity worship, but I found myself having to blog about this. Kanye West says he is the voice of this generation. And if you don't know who Kanye West is, be thankful. He's a rapper who was the darling of the Judeo-Christian perverts a few years ago because one of his hits was called Jesus Walked. Anyway, now he's declaring himself, and I am a Christian, so when I call him Judeo-Christian perverts, I mean that with all affection and sincerity.
but now he's declaring himself to be the voice of his generation. Kanye West is to music what Michael Jordan was to basketball. At least that's what he thinks, in his humble estimation. I realize that my place and position in history will go down as I was the voice of this generation, of this decade. I am the loudest voice, he said in an interview last Wednesday. This rapper goes on to say it is me stepping into that position of just really accepting that it's one thing to say you want to do it, and it's another thing to really end up being like Michael Jordan. You know, some of us look up to people like Davy Crockett and Robert E. Lee to be our heroes, but other people, I guess, they look up to Michael Jordan. And you know what? He's right, though. I got to admit it. He is right. After all, his generation is simply doing to Western civilization what Kanye West himself did to a dressing room carpet a few days ago. If you want to find out what he did, go to my blog. You'll probably figure it out. He urinated all over it. He's in the middle of a party. In the middle of a party. And just starts relieving himself on the carpet in front of celebrities and fans and all. And so, you know, as I said, he is the voice of his generation because he's doing to the carpet what his generation is doing to the world. So, fairly typical, I think, of that. I guess, unfortunately, his generation is my generation. I'm his age. I'm 28. I weep for the future, though, unlike most of my generation. I know we're pretty sad. We're pretty sad, but not all of us, because we got a lot of young listeners here to the Political Cesspool, and I want to encourage everybody, young and old, to tune into our program every Saturday night. We air live here at republicbroadcasting.org. And thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're live every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight. And I want to thank all the affiliate stations who are carrying our program, not the least of which being our flagship station here in Memphis, AM 1380, WLRM Radio. And if listening to this award-winning program once a week isn't enough, don't forget, you can catch us anytime you want, on demand, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Our broadcast archives are there dating back a few years. We invite you to go check them out. On behalf of the rest of the Political Cesspool staff, my co-hosts, Winston Smith, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and Bill Rowland, who are out doing God knows what tonight while I'm working. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. God bless you. God keep you until next week when we're all together again. This is James Edwards. Signing off.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to help keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Tell you why I take Betaprost.